You and me and BPD, episode 23, a conversation with Cordelia. So it's been about a week or so since last episode, and today I have a very special guest joining. So Cordelia reached out to me on Instagram and wanted to be a part of the podcast, which I think is so amazing, and I welcome anybody who wants to reach out because I think it's amazing. So yeah, today it's just going to be a quick conversation with Cordelia. Cordelia, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. Hi. My name's Cordelia. Very excited to be on the podcast.
Yeah, so Cordelia, do you want to just give a quick introduction to yourself and just kind of let people know what you're about?
Yeah, of course. Of course. So I'm 22. I'm a student in Edinburgh, which is in Scotland. And I was diagnosed about 6 months ago, so half a year now. Mm-hmm. And Steph's podcasts have just been so helpful and amazing. And yeah, I just wanted to come on and talk about my experience to kind of raise awareness. And I mm-hmm. found it helpful listening to other people with BPD, so I thought I'd do the same.
Yeah, I mean, the more people who contribute to the conversation, the more we can understand the kind of nuances between us and kind of the exactly. things that we all relate to, and then things that might be different about us. Because, you know, we all share a diagnosis, but we're all such individual people.
Everyone's BPD does look different, so mm-hmm. it's so interesting to kind of share experiences and talk about what it's like.
Mm-hmm. So I guess kind of jumping off of that, what was your kind of diagnosis process like? Did you seek a diagnosis? Was it recommended to you? Like, what was that whole kind of situation?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. My diagnosis journey was very long and took months for me to kind of reach my final opinion. But mm-hmm. yeah, I kind of, it started because I was feeling just very empty, not like myself. I didn't really want to see my friends, and I was sort of isolating myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of kept on ignoring it and thinking, you know, this is a phase, it will pass. And then it got to about 3 months and I was like, okay, I just want to sort this, get on with my life. I went home thinking that I would kind of feel better in a familiar environment, away from uni. And I just got worse.
Oh, really?
Which I was surprised about, because for me, my environment has always been very important.
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm in a kind of negative environment, stressful environment, my behavior changes, like my mood changes. So I thought going home would stabilize me, mm-hmm. but it really didn't. So I actually, my first call was my GP, and they said, oh, it's probably depression. Because it's been for an extended time period.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They put me on antidepressants.
Oh, really? Like, was that just all of a sudden, or did they just kind of...
It was,
really?
Yeah. So she was like, my GP was like, come and pick them up tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I was so shocked because I'm quite sort of upbeat, like full of person. I've never had any suspicion that I've been depressed.
Wow.
So that was a bit of a shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was desperate. Like, I was really struggling. So I kind of thought, okay, I'll try this. I'll try anything. So I went on those, and a few weeks passed and I just saw no improvement. And I kind of mm-hmm. thought, I don't think this is depression. So then I got referred to a talking service, which deals with like more complex mental health issues.
Okay.
Called Talking Space Plus. And I spoke to about 5 different people about kind of my symptoms and how I felt I wasn't in control of my emotion. I felt very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was beginning to have like intrusive thoughts, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like normal. I just felt totally like dissociated with just my life. It was so strange. And then everyone kind of said, "Ooh, I'm not sure if we can help you with that. Let me refer you on to this person." So I went through about 6 different referrals.
Yes, oh my gosh. That happens exhausting. So often.
Yeah, because everyone doesn't feel kind of qualified to deal with it.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, and I was madly researching because I just wanted to kind of find, not a cure, but to find a way to help myself.
Oh, definitely,
Yeah, and then I actually, my friend studied psychology, and she was doing a essay on mental illness, and kind of all the different mental illnesses and symptoms were on her screen, and she was just scrolling through them, and I was just looking over her shoulder, and I saw borderline personality disorder, and I was like, wait. And then I read the symptoms about 5 times, and I said, oh my gosh, this is literally this describes me and how I've been feeling. And the more I kind of looked it up, did research, listened to a few podcasts about it, and I thought, maybe this is it, and maybe this is why no one's been able to diagnose me, because it's quite sort of under the radar.
Yeah, it's often misdiagnosed too. Like, I was first diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, and I was like, I feel like this isn't correct. Like, there's something else here.
That's kind of how I felt. Yeah, I felt that there was something more.
Yeah.
So, finally, I spoke to this guy, my final referral of that, like, platform. And he said, I think it might be a personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you need to get a psychiatrist and have a proper diagnosis. So then I found a psychiatrist who was amazing. And I described everything. And this was after about 2 months of going to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, diagnose me. And that was kind of that. And since then, I've been it was very reassuring to get my diagnosis, because I was looking for one for so long to kind of, I guess it's like not validating, but you feel more normal if you know there's a reason.
Yeah, it's almost like once you kind of have something to associate with, you feel less alone. Like, that's how it was for me, at least, was the moment, like, I didn't know anybody with BPD. I had never even heard about it. Mm. And then the moment I realized what it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only person dealing with this.
It's so reassuring.
It's a really interesting thing, because you're right, it's not necessarily validating, but it is in a way giving you something to feel acceptance about, right?
Yes, that was part of it. Yeah, like just accepting and kind of being like, okay, I'm not crazy. There's a medical reason for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people have done research on this, written books about this, and I found it really useful to kind of have a concrete diagnosis. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So now that you've kind of been living with this diagnosis, like, I mean, you've been living with this probably for your whole life. Like, have you kind of reflected upon, like, kind of some of the things that maybe some of the traits that you learned, or some of the things that you've kind of experienced and been like, oh, okay, I probably was going through a really bad mental health time at that point in time, or like kind of look back a little bit? Like, how does that kind of?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I've had a lot of reflection this past like half year. Even like thinking back to when I was a child, I think there were definitely warning signs. And I think, you know, when you're growing up, there's a lot of like hormones. When you're little, everyone has tantrums when they're children, kind of thing. And people kind of, I don't know, thought it was normal, but looking back, remembering internally how I felt, it was all very obvious now that's mm-hmm. kind of what was going on and it was developing, because I think from what I've read, BPD kind of fully develops and is more obvious in kind of early adulthood,
yeah,
and late adolescence. So I think it was definitely ticking away. Like, I remember when I was little, I had, even to the age of about 14, like violent outbursts kind of.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That was something yeah. that I experienced. I was yeah. so angry at like everyone all the time.
And everyone used to say, oh gosh, you've got such bad hormones.
Yes, exactly. It was always like, oh, you're taking it too seriously. You're too sensitive. You're too emotional. And it was just like, but you're not listening to me. Like, just listen to why I'm having a freak out, maybe. It was so hard.
Yeah. So, yeah. And even when I was like 14, 15, when my kind of outbursts and meltdowns, I learned how to control them around that age. I remember thinking, I'm too old for this. Like, this is weird. Why can I not control, like, small things would just tip me over the edge. Like, I remember I got my phone taken when I was like 15 because I was on it late at night, and I literally was like in a rage, like violent, throwing things, like just got being crazy.
I did the same thing. I'm not even joking you. I did the same thing. Like, I once got so mad, I like ripped my like door off the wall. My door was already like falling apart, but I was so mad, I slammed my door so hard that it like fell off the hinges. And then standing there and being like, whoa, I didn't even know that I was capable of doing that. Like,
literally. And then you calm down.
Yeah. And you just kind of go into this like blind rage kind of thing.
Literally,
of like,
no control.
I didn't even realize I could do that. Right. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. So yeah, I guess kind of the angry outbursts, I think, were definitely warning signs. And then my sort of depressive episodes that I think I was experiencing before my diagnosis, I had them on and off kind of at school and stuff. So I think, I recognize a pattern, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely. So yeah, that's been interesting to look back and think, oh, that's why I felt like that year or whatever.
So kind of now, like, have you told, like, is your family involved? Like, was your family aware that you were going through this whole, like, switching from kind of like therapist to therapist? Like, how does your kind of like, maybe not even your family, like your friends and stuff like that, like, has your diagnosis kind of changed any type of relationship or impacted the way that you are around them, or potentially even their opinion of you and like that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think in terms of family, everyone's been, I kind of was quite secretive about getting help and stuff because I hate fuss. Like, I hate people being concerned about me, and I feel I don't want to feel like a burden, and I hate to think that people are worried or anything. So I did keep it secret until after I got diagnosed, and I was kind of doing it by myself. But I think everyone was really worried. Like, my family said that they just didn't recognize me and they knew there was something wrong.
Yeah,
but I very much wanted to sort it out on my own, which is sounds crazy, but I just wanted to kind of be left to it and make as little drama as possible. I knew something was wrong and I wanted to come and say, this is the problem and this is how I'm fixing it, as opposed to, oh my gosh, you know, having a sort of upset or being really dramatic about it. I just kind of wanted to fix it and then say, I fixed it, or I'm trying to fix it.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, yeah, in terms of friends and stuff, I had quite a bad BPD episode over the summer. I had a manic episode, and that really, I think, changed a lot of people's views on me.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. I guess people that, I think mental illness is kind of so, people don't fully understand everything, and it's complicated. Yeah. And because it's internal and it's not visible in terms of if you've got a broken leg, it's all psychological, so people can't see it as easily. And I think it's scary, you know, for some people to see that. But I mean, I'm just trying to surround myself with like positive environment, positive people, mm-hmm. and I'm doing so much.
So
I just said I think it's definitely been a shock.
Do you find that people understand, like when you told your family, you're like, I have BPD, did they know like what that was? Was it kind of like, did you have to do a lot of the explaining, or did they research or something? Like,
yeah, I mean, no one knew what it was. Friends, family, mm-hmm. no one. Everyone said, oh, bipolar disorder. And I said, no.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were kind of, so confused. They said, what is that? And then when I explained some of my symptoms, they were like, oh, well, isn't that normal? Isn't that kind of what everyone has? And I was like, not everyone said that, but some people said that. And I was like, no, it's not normal. This is not neurotypical. This is, mm-hmm. This is like an actual mental illness. So yeah, I had to do a lot of explaining. And actually lots of people have listened to the other podcast I did, which I think mm-hmm. has clarified a lot and explained things definitely in a better way. But yeah, I don't like to talk about it loads with like people just on a day-to-day basis, because I think it can be quite overwhelming for people to hear about it.
So do you feel like there's an aspect of like you don't want to overwhelm people with this kind of information, but at the same time it's like it would, because I always find that like it would be helpful for people to understand why I am the way I am, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I don't want to overwhelm them upfront. Like, it's a very hard kind of path to figure out of like, can I trust this person to tell them the truth, or like, should I kind of like not tell them and then tell them over time? Like,
yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought like that. I mean, my concern is that someone doesn't know and I'm really close mm-hmm. with them, and then I tell them and they run in the other direction.
Yeah.
That's kind of my worry. And I want to say, because I feel it's only fair, like if I'm going to become really good friends with someone or start dating someone, I feel like it's fair for them to kind of have the whole picture. But then I'm mm-hmm. so scared of like someone kind of ditching me because of it. Mm-hmm. So I do kind of, I'm nervous to tell people, especially new people.
Sorry, one second.
Don't worry.
So what are you doing now? Now that you kind of know this, now that you've kind of had time to reflect and stuff, what are some of the ways that you're kind of taking care of yourself? Or are you like in therapy? Did you find some type of medication that helped? Like, how are you making sure that you're kind of taking care of your mental health?
So I've actually come off my medication. I stayed on my antidepressants for about 5 months, just because I didn't feel stable enough to come off them. But now actually I'm off them. I've been off them for 2 weeks. I feel great. I feel fine, which is amazing, and I'm so excited about that.
Well, congrats for that.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm in two different types of therapy. So I do one type of therapy on a weekly basis, which is CBT.
Okay.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, yeah, which especially for BPD, which I'm sure everyone who's listening knows. But yeah, it's great, and it kind of gives you tools to cope with symptoms. So So like if I feel like a really negative emotion coming on, or like something that's gonna kind of put me off balance, or like an episode coming, or I don't know, just something that could trigger me, I kind of learn how to recalibrate my brain so that my brain doesn't have a complete meltdown. So yeah, that's kind of my CBT. And then my other therapy was more for dealing with like just weekly scenarios. Like I would talk through what my plans are for the week and kind of avoid situations where I was gonna put myself at risk, or possibly do something destructive, etc. So they've been really helpful, definitely, and I would suggest therapy for anyone with BPD, because I don't think I would be where I am without some kind of support.
No, I agree. When I was first diagnosed, I was on therapy for about 2 years, or I was in therapy for about 2 years. And I was on antidepressants for approximately the same time. And I think it just helps to ease you into like taking care of yourself, because I know before I got diagnosed, like I didn't really care that much about taking care of myself.
I was just so like,
at one point I was like, this is the way I am, and like people just have to deal with it. And then I realized, well, maybe I'm, you know, that like kind of, am I the toxic person?
I think I'm the one
who's toxic. And then eventually I was like, no, sometimes I can be like,
it is about like kind of self-reflecting. I've been trying to do that more and kind of stop and think, oh, maybe, you know, you shouldn't behave like that, or kind of just to take a moment and be calm. But yeah, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because I feel like with BPD, you're kind of, your brain just gets so wrapped up in the current emotion, and it gets so quickly spiraled and out of hand. And it takes a lot to kind of force your brain to sort of stay level until you can be calm.
It's really like you have to learn. I think what I've had to learn the most is just that, like, if I don't allow myself to feel my emotions, then they become like worse. Like when I would be like, I'm not sad, I'm not depressed, I'm going to ignore it. And then it's like, eventually it builds up to the point that I feel like I can't ignore it, and it's overtaking me. And it's been a really interesting kind of trying to find balance of, okay, I'm going to allow myself to feel angry, maybe not so angry that I'm like throwing things or, you know, screaming, but maybe anger in a different way. Allowing yourself to feel it differently.
For sure. I think that definitely makes sense, because the more you kind of fight what's naturally happening, the more kind of aggravated I think it becomes, definitely.
It's a very interesting kind of, I keep on like using the analogy of like a roller coaster or like a wave, because it's like some days it's totally fine, and some days I feel like, oh, I'm not even, like, you know, I'm just perfectly normal. And then other days it's like, no, this is a day where all of my therapeutic techniques has to be kicked in, because I know I'm not in a good place. Like, it's very interesting.
So that's interesting. Do you find that, like, so if you wake up a certain way, do you find that that sort of emotion lasts for the whole day, or is it kind of a bit more frequently changing?
I would say that I don't feel any emotions the whole day, and that's been kind of my issue, is like when people, like I was talking about in the last episode I made about depression, like when I feel depression, I feel it so intensely for maybe like an hour or half an hour of my day, and after that it's like my brain kind of goes, okay, on to the next thing. And sometimes it's really hard to come back from that, right? Like when I'm in a really bad state, like I'll wake up and immediately I'll be like, this is not a good day. And I've just woken up. I haven't even done anything.
I know.
And yeah. I'm like, I yeah. can already feel that I'm not in a good mood.
Maybe
something goes wrong or I sleep through my alarm and then suddenly everything starts spiraling. You're just
literally,
like,
yeah, and it sets you on a negative mindset. Like, definitely I wake up every day and one of the first things I think is, how do I feel? And I'm so desperate to feel good that I almost think it's so easy to put pressure on yourself to kind of, I don't know, you're so desperate to feel good that you feel upset if you don't. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, this is going to be such a bad day, I don't feel good.
I think there's also like an aspect of just making sure that you're learning how to be okay even in the times when you don't feel okay. Like there's something about just realizing that, you know, I don't feel okay right now, and then not having any judgment on that. Because before I used to be like, well, I should feel happy because I have all these different things and I'm ungrateful now. And now I feel bad. I feel even worse because I feel like I'm ungrateful for my life. And then that just spirals out of control when it's like, no, you can feel just bad and it's fine. Like there's not a good or a bad
that. No, and it's so true. I used to do that. I used to sometimes, I still do it now, if I do feel like I'm kind of going downhill or I'm beginning to feel really depressed or whatever, I sometimes say aloud like things that are good and things that are positive. Mm-hmm. And I repeat them to myself like out loud, and it does help because it feels like your brain's listening. It's so weird with BPD, I don't know if you have this, but I feel like my brain is separate, as in it's not part of me, it's separate to me, and I have to like kind of communicate with it and talk to it and kind of listen to it because I'm not fully in control.
It's really interesting. I think maybe because of just like how dissociated I was when I was younger a lot, I kind of always kind of feel this tension between like, what do I want to do? And what is my brain like feeling? Yes. Like sometimes I'll be like, I'm sad. And then I'm kind of being my own therapist, being like, well, why are you sad? And then I'm like having this own conversation in my head back and forth. And it's like, I'm psychoanalyzing myself. And it's really interesting because it's like, I don't know if other people necessarily sit there and like have a conversation with themselves about why they feel a certain way.
Oh my goodness. Literally, I can relate to that so much though. It is, you talk to yourself, like it's, you're trying to kind of soothe your own brain, literally.
And it's a lot of just being like, I think for myself too, it's because I spend so much time, like I'm a Buddhist, right? So I spend a lot of time doing meditation and mindfulness and these kind of practices. So because of that, it's like, I also have this kind of added aspect of trying to be okay with whatever I'm feeling and not having judgment on it. And sometimes that's really hard because sometimes I'll be really, really angry and I'll be like, it's okay to be angry. And my head is like, I know it's okay to be angry. Like, stop telling me that. And I'm like, I'm getting mad at myself right now.
Like, literally. Oh my goodness. So interesting though, isn't it? Like how complex the brain is and how kind of BPD brain is so different. Like it's unique. It's amazing. I think it's so interesting. So,
now that you've kind of like you're still a student, right? Like you're still in school.
Yeah.
How do you find that with kind of the like not knowing what your day is going to be like, not knowing kind of what you're going to feel like? How are you managing to handle that?
I mean, I've realized that the busier I am, the happier I am. Like if I have empty days where I don't have anything, I definitely feel worse. I need structure, I need routine, I need to know what my plans are so I can like mentally prepare for things, like if it's going to be a social thing or if it's going to be something like at work or with uni or an essay coming or whatever it is, I have to know well in advance so I'm not kind of caught off guard or overwhelmed. But definitely for me, I need kind of distraction, I need structure. The danger is when I'm kind of on my own for long periods of time, or I don't have anything to do. Like at university, because I've actually moved to London and I'm finishing my degree online.
Okay.
Because I've got a job in London, which is great because I'm super busy, right? Mm-hmm. So, and at uni, I was kind of, I don't know, there's not enough to fill your day with because lectures aren't that regular. So I was like wallowing and my brain was running away with me and I had
yeah.
time to kind of think. And I think that's why I got so bad. Like, okay. I was just totally kind of caught up in like empty days, emptiness. And it's just, it does contribute, you know. I felt so sad because I wasn't doing anything. I didn't feel like I had a purpose really. Which is interesting. So now I'm kind of trying to keep busy and do things that are reassuring and have a routine. Like I try and have a bedtime at the same time every night, like plan what I'm gonna have for supper, those kinds of things just help me feel stable and I know what's coming.
I agree. I have a kind of, I don't have a job and I finished school in August, so I'm kind of just right now going about my day. But even within that, I do have a kind of structure of like, okay, I get up at this time, because I have a child, right? So I have to drop him off at school. And then I come home and I do X, Y, Z. And like that kind of structure helps.
I find.
Really quickly, so now that you're kind of living with this, you're kind of, now that you have a better awareness, are you finding that, sorry, I just blanked out.
I do that the whole time, honestly.
Are you finding that, you're maybe like rethinking kind of where your future is going to go, or kind of like what type of life you might want? Because I know for me, working doesn't really work for me. It's not something that I want to do, and it's not something that really feels fulfilling for me. And at least where I am in Canada, like BPD is considered a long-term disability because so many people with BPD are not able to work. They're not able to, you know, have a full-time job or kind of have a career per se. But are you finding that, because you said you were working, that your kind of mental health is intertwined with your work, or are you finding that you're able to kind of keep them separate? Like, how's that going?
I mean, I'm trying to keep them separate. I think I mean, for me, the problems with BPD are more kind of within episodes. I feel like it's very kind of, obviously I have symptoms like daily, but the dangerous thing for me is when I feel like either really low or really manic, and that's when it kind of becomes more serious. So actually kind of going to work, etc., keeps me out of danger. Like I remember over the summer when I wasn't working, I was staying up so late every single night, like being with people I didn't really know. I was super self-destructive, like I was kind of drinking excessively, I was feeling just empty. I did crazy things, like I got 3 tattoos in a week. I don't even like them. But just things,
your impulsivity was just
through the roof. Like I don't remember, like I dissociated so much during that time because I think my brain was just going 100 miles an hour. I don't remember huge chunks of time. Like, it's bizarre. It's
really, and that's bizarre. Scary. That's so scary when that happens, because you're like, what? Like, I know I was doing things, but I can't recall any of it. Like, yeah, that's a, it's a really scary situation. situation.
It felt like a different person. Like when I look back, I can't believe it. I almost kind of doesn't seem real. And I think that's one of the other things I struggle with, like what is reality kind of. And I imagine, I don't know, I sometimes think, have I imagined that? Did that really happen?
Oh my God, I relate to that so much. Like so much of the time, I'll be sitting back, even within a day, I'll sometimes just sit down and be like, how is it 6 p.m.? Like, what was I doing? I don't remember being here. Like, did I even do it, what I said I was going to do? Like, what happened? It's so strange when that happens. It's
so strange. And like, I get that a lot. I think someone sent me a message. And I the other day, I thought I got this angry message. I was supposed to meet a friend and I completely forgot and didn't turn up. Mm-hmm. And I was like putting off replying to this message for so long, I couldn't even open Facebook. And then eventually, after 4 or 5 days, I opened Facebook and there was no message, right? I had received this message and I was getting like myself into a real tizz about it. I was really stressed, but I had imagined the whole thing. And those kinds of things happened to me a lot. Like I completely sort of lose touch with reality. It's bizarre. Uh-huh. So sometimes I ask people like, you know, did we do this or did this happen? Or did we have that conversation? Yeah. Because I'm not sure if my brain is telling me correctly, you know?
Yeah. It's so, so bizarre. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Kind of last question, just because that was really interesting. Do you find that sometimes when you're interacting with people, you have a completely different kind of interaction with them than what actually happened? Because I find that happens sometimes, especially with like my husband, a lot of the time, I'll be like, you said this, and he'll be like, no, I didn't. But it's like my interpretation of what is coming off. Like, you're so angry at me right now. And he's like, I'm not. And I'm like, no, but I feel like you're just so angry at me. And he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. And it's like, I almost have to stop and be like, wait a second. What did you say? Because what I heard or what I experienced was very different.
Yeah. No, I definitely get that. Like, I got really upset the other night because I thought my dad was saying something in a mean way and it wasn't at all, but it's just because my brain had completely twisted it. And like, exactly, my interpretation of things aren't really, they're not normal, they're just very kind of exaggerated. So definitely, like, I often feel that I'm sort of worsening things in my mind. I always imagine the worst case scenario, right?
Yes, then, all the time.
Yeah, and then like you're kind of like, oh well, that's what they mean, they obviously hate me.
Yeah, it's always you hate me, right? Like, you're mad at me, right? And it's always like, it's your own brain that's saying this, it's not the other person.
Yeah, literally. But for sure, like, my reactions to things are totally disproportionate just because I genuinely feel that my reaction is kind of valid, you know, that because they said something awful or didn't even, I imagine it. And then like my sister the other, when I got upset about my dad, she came in and she was like, stop, he did, like, that's, you've just completely spun that. And I was like, oh, maybe I have. But it's definitely it's you know, and sometimes it's good to just check yourself. Like, I'm trying to be more self-aware of stuff that. But it takes time and work, definitely.
So this has been an amazing episode. Thank you so much for talking and just being very honest.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you being willing to reach out and be a part of this, because that's kind of always been my kind of dream, is to have more people on and more conversations and all that.
No, I've loved it. Thank you so much for agreeing to have me.
I guess that's about it. Is there anything that you would kind of want to leave? I always kind of try to do like a little message of hope or something at the end, just to be like, I love you guys, you're amazing, to whoever's listening. So is there anything that you would want kind of people to kind of take away or kind of remember from this conversation or whatever?
I mean the main thing to think about and remember is just that there is a way, and you will get better and you will improve. And there's lots of people that are dealing with this every day and coping with it and also struggling with it. So you're not alone. And yeah, just do things that help you and surround yourself with positive people and environments, and you will feel okay. Mm-hmm. Or as okay as you can feel.
Yeah. So on that note, that is the end of this episode. If you want to reach out, you can get in contact with me on my Instagram, journey, journey.bound. And yeah, I wish you all the best. And I'm so thankful for this conversation and thankful to every person who will go on to listen to this. Bye, guys.